Coach Day?
Thanks, Brett. This is quite an honor to be in the national championship game. You know, we're obviously very excited to be here. This is something that our guys fought so hard to have this opportunity, and now we're here. Unbelievable opportunity to play, a great program. So much respect for Coach Saban and his staff and the players and their tradition of winning there. So, really looking forward to a great week of preparation as we work our way down to Miami.
Thank you, Coach. We'll begin the question and answers today with Bill Rabinowitz. Bill, you're up.
Hi, Ryan. After the game, you said you didn't know the extent of Justin's injury after it happened, but that he said he didn't feel he had any chance but to return. I think what you meant is that Justin himself wanted to play so much that he felt he had no choice to return, as opposed to pressure imposed on him by anyone else to get back on the field. Can you clarify that, as well as what the medical protocol is for players who've been hurt to be cleared to return? And of course, how is Justin? I want your level of confidence he can practice and play.
Sure. I mean, I think when you saw the way that Justin finished the game, it was remarkable. I mean, I thought that was one of the gutsiest performances I've ever seen in person. And, it was like any other situation that was certainly high profile to see it all go down. But, I leave all that stuff up to the medical, our medical people who are the best in the country. And, Justin's such a competitive guy. He wasn't going to come off the field, and that's just the way he's wired. You're going to have to pull him off the field. And, it was pretty amazing performance. And, it was good the next day. He actually, his comment to me was that he felt better waking up in the morning than he expected. So, we'll keep working through the week and, have a great week of preparation, get ready to play on Monday night.
Next up is Dennis Dodd. Dennis?
Hey, Ryan. How do you explain, Justin going from at least statistically his worst game of his career to his best? And then along with that, can you even share with us if there are any, the ribs are broken or anything, or how bad are they?
So I think when you look at the Northwestern game, there was a lot at play there. First off, Northwestern's very, very good defensively, and they make things hard for us. And we were just a little off in a certain area, and that's all it takes, is to be a little off. And I think, too, it got us out of rhythm a little bit that, Chris was out, Jackson was out, and that threw us a little bit off rhythm. So I think it's a combination of those things. And then to turn around and play the way he did, I think that shows, again, his competitiveness when we started to hear some rumblings and about the fact that he didn't play very well. And I know that bothered him, and it took a couple days to recover from. But that's part of being a quarterback. And I think that's part of learning as a quarterback, is overcoming adversity. And the truth is, he really hasn't had a lot of adversity. This is somebody who's had a lot of success throughout his career. He's very, very talented and very, very smart. And so when you look at the great quarterbacks, they all have to overcome that adversity. And so as we talked after that game, this was just another step in his journey. And what really matters is how he returns and how he recovers. And I thought the way he played in the game was excellent, but it was more important, like you're saying, played coming off of that, that game that he felt like he didn't play great in. And that's a sign of great growth as a quarterback, which was huge.
Next up is Andrea Adelson. Andrea?
Ryan, just as a follow-up to what Dennis asked, can you tell us the specific injury that Justin has and whether you expect him to play?
Yeah, I definitely expect him to play, but yeah, we don't get into specifics on injuries. We give our availability report at the end of the week, and that's always been our policy.
Okay, as a quick follow-up on a different topic, with Trey Sermon and his emergence, I think you said after the game that it started around Michigan State that a light switch came on for him. Why do you think that was? Because you said maybe early on he wasn't making the type of impact perhaps that you all expected. Why was it then that something changed for him?
Yeah, I think that's a great question for him. I don't know if he'll be able to give a great answer there, but I think there's a couple things at play. One, he didn't have the lead up like a normal running back would have going into the season because of the lack of the preseason. Came in during the summer, didn't have that lead up like he typically would. And then he was coming off of the injury. And again, those are the two things I use. I don't know if he would say that or not, but I look to those two things. And then also our run game is a little different than what he was used to. He was also splitting time with Master. And so when he started getting more at bats, he started to get more runs, got no rhythm of the game. And I think now you're seeing the best version of Trey. And the best part about Trey is when all that was going on, he never came into my office, never complained, never said, I need more carries, none of that stuff. Just kept his mouth shut and kept going to work. And I think that's what's the best part of this whole story, is that he just kept going every single day to work and never said anything about it. And now he's playing at a high, high level. I mean, it's really remarkable what he's done. Over 500 yards in two of the biggest games of the year. And, you know, he has a chance to go down in Ohio State history as one of the best runs ever. You know, if he can, you know, have another performance in this game like he did the last two. So hats off to him. But I think a lot of it has to do with our offensive line, our tight ends, and our running game as well.
Next up, Ralph Russo. Ralph?
Hey, Ryan. Thanks for doing this. I wanted to ask you about clearly the passing game is exploding. And because of that, wide receivers become more important just because you're throwing more. But is there more to it that way? It seems like now you cannot have a great team without really great receivers. You see Devontae and then your guys, Olave and Wilson. How has that position sort of evolved to the point where it seems like it's become maybe the second or third most important position on the offense?
I mean, it's very important. I think that the emergence of 7-on-7 has increased the skill level of a lot of receivers and quarterbacks. And, you know, they get the ball in the perimeter a lot faster than maybe they did 10 or 20 years ago, spreading the field horizontally and vertically. And we're always looking, you know, for ways to create explosives. And the easiest way to create an explosive is to throw the football. You know, and so when you have that combination of run and pass, it really helps. Now, if you don't have the ability to run the football, and I think if you look at both teams here, you know, both of us have really explosive receivers. Both of us have really good running games. And so because you can run the football, you know, you just do the math on it. Somebody extra is going to be in the box, which opens up things down the field. If you don't have that ability to run the ball, you know, that extra guy is now deep and it's too high shell and it's not as explosive. So I think it all goes hand in hand. But to go back to your original point, I do think, you know, that receivers in the last 5 to 10 years, their skill level has increased overall nationally. And you're seeing some of the best in the country in this game.
Thank you. Next player from Lane Higgins. Lane?
Thanks, Coach. Wanted to kind of follow up on the situation with Justin. I know that you're not getting into specifics for the game, but how will you approach preparation for this game if he's not able to take as many reps as per se usual in the week leading up to the championship?
Yeah, I mean, we're just going to practice the way we normally practice. You know, nothing's going to change.
Next up is Dan Hope. Dan?
Hey, Ryan. With as much as you all, you know, put into beating Clemson all offseason and just having that game, you know, on your list all year, is there any concern about maintaining that same level of intensity and focus going into this game?
Well, the goal was never just to beat Clemson. The goal was to win the national championship. And all these guys who we didn't have a season, they were fighting to get back to play for a national championship. So while it was an emotional win, that wasn't the goal. The goal was to win this one. And so I'd be disappointed if we didn't play well in this game. This is everything on the line, everything we wanted. And so now all the focus goes on Alabama. And we just got to prepare. And the most prepared team is going to win the game. And we have to prepare, you know, like we did the week before. The good news is I think we have a little confidence going into the game that we've shown what we can do. And now we've got to go do it again. So, you know, it's a good lead up time. You know, we get 10 days here and, you know, to kind of, you know, rest up a little bit and then get to work and practicing. And so I think we'll be, you know, we'll be fresh and ready to roll. The virus still hasn't gone away. So we got to make sure we're really vigilant in that area, which is still a struggle day in and day out. It's just hard. But the preparation is just going to continue to go on. And, you know, again, we said it going into the last game, we're going to have to play our best game. You know, well, we're going to have to even play better than we did last week to beat Alabama.
Next, we'll hear from Mike Rodak. Mike?
There was a lot of buzz last week about where Dabo Swinney put your team in the coaches' poll. How much attention do you pay to Nick Saban's ballot that had you at 5 behind Texas A&M at 4?
Yeah, that was, you know, until you just said that, I wasn't aware. You know, I really don't look at those things too much. Totally respect everybody's opinion, but you know, what matters is playing in the game.
Next, we'll hear from Kirk Bowles. Kirk?
Hey, Ryan, a lot of people have raved about Steve Sarkisian's play calling at Alabama. Is there anything that stands out to you about the way he goes about calling plays in the game?
He's got a great tradition of a lot of success on the offensive side of the ball. He's been around some unbelievable offenses, and he's got a great feel. I think, you know, when you look at the things he does, the plays he runs, he puts the defense in a lot of stress. He's very aggressive. And he obviously really knows how to prepare an offense to create explosives, how to run the football. I mean, he's very, very talented. And when it comes down to calling plays, I mean, sure, there's a knack for it, but so much of it is the preparation that you you put in leading up to it. And, you know, it's always a good play when it works. You know, that's what I always laugh about. You know, why'd you call that one? Because it worked. If it doesn't work, it's not a good play. You're not a good play caller. So I think the big thing there is just, I don't know him as well. Met him a few times, got a lot of respect for him, but he clearly does a great job in preparation, putting the game plan together, and then preparing the guys to execute it based on what they're going to see.
Next, we'll hear from Clay Hall. Clay?
I don't have an unmute. I don't know where it is.
I can hear you now, Clay.
You're on, Clay.
Beautiful. Thank you. Thanks for hanging in there. Ryan, you're in rarefied air for a second-year head coach. What's it like to match wits and put a game plan together against a guy who's won six national titles?
Again, nothing but the utmost respect for Coach Saban and his staff. Anytime you get to this level, you know you got to be on your game. You're going against the best in the world. And certainly Alabama is, and you know, Coach Saban's career speaks for itself. You know, watched him win a lot of national championships, and so again, nothing but the utmost respect. But when you get to this level, you know it's going to be hard, no matter how you shake it. You got to be on top of your game, and you got to really do a great job of getting the guys prepared, playing at a high level, and that's what we're going to focus on.
Thanks.
Have time for just a couple more. Next up will be Bill Landis. Bill.
Hey, Ryan. Your offensive line has seemed to really grow here over the last couple of games, which is kind of remarkable considering you've only played three in like 40 days. And in all three of those, you had a different starting five. Just how have they been able to do that given sort of all those challenges and different circumstances?
I think it goes back to practice. And that's the thing that we spent a lot of time talking about, was that because we weren't playing in as many games, we had to practice really hard. We had to practice against each other. The D-line had to go against the O-line, ones versus ones. And that was the only way that we were going to get better fundamentally. You know, it wasn't always so much a schematic deal. It was more about getting pads down, hands inside, running feet, all the things that come with that. And that's just the guys up front. I mean, linebackers, tight ends are the same way on the perimeter. And so that was the only way we could do it, because we weren't playing in those games. And so I attribute it to you know, practice, you know, which our guys did a great job of. You got to give a lot of credit to the guys. You got to give a lot of credit to the position coaches for getting them ready.
And our final question for today for the coach will be from Steve Hummer. Steve?
Okay, thank you. Justin was obviously very vocal at the beginning of the year about wanting to play and needing to play. How influential do you think he was? And what did that tell you, I guess, about his evolution of, as a leader?
I think that was a huge step in his what you're calling evolution as a leader. I think that was big, because when he first got here, you know, he had leadership skills. I think his ability on the field pulled some guys with him. And I think that as time went on, he became more and more of a leader. I thought what he did at the Team Up North game last year, after coming back, after taking that shot in the knee, and then, you know, coming out for one play and going back in and then throwing that touchdown pass was amazing. I mean, he's as tough of a competitive guy as I've ever been around. And because of that, your teammates see that. And then to see the way he worked in the offseason, then to see him fight and speak up for his teammates, and then to see him come back and play the way he's played. The big play in the Michigan State game where he's running down and blocking for Trey Sermon on a run, the way that he came back and played gutsy in this game, you know, Friday night. Again, I think those were all steps in the evolution, but I do think that it was significant when he spoke up. I think that that was a big step for him. But this is something that's been growing over time. And it's great to watch and be a part of.
Thanks a lot, Coach. Appreciate your time today. We look forward to having you join us here later in the week.
Okay, guys. Thanks so much.